Obsession number 13732, Reel 1.
This is an interview with Flight Lieutenant John Rowlands, recorded by Rodney Giesler at RAF Lynham on January the 27th. The 27th, 1994.
Could you give me your date of birth and how you, your, a bit of your family background and how you came to join the Royal Air Force?
26th of April, 1939. No particular background from the services in the Air Force. My father was in the Army for both World Wars. And I just fancied flying from about the age of very little. And got a flying scholarship while I was at school, and so I had a pilot's license when I was about 16, 17, and then managed, with a bit of luck, to get into Cranwell, and with greater luck, passed out of Cranwell in 1960, and then went to Dishforth as a second pilot on Hastings, an aircraft I never even heard of in those days.
What were you flying at Cranwell? Were there chipmunks in those days?
No, we started off Piston Provost, and then advanced flying was on the Vampire TLM. So a long course of about a few weeks at Dishforth to become a second pilot. That was about 2 years at Cullern as second pilot, and then graduated to co-pilot.
What's the difference?
Not a lot, really. One, you're only allowed to use the undercarriage and flaps, and the other, you were actually allowed to fly it sometimes. Not a lot. So 2 years as a co-pilot, and then captain, then at 24. So I was just illegally married, being not for 25. Captain, flying officer. And then out to Changi.
Can you tell me why you went on to Hastings?
Because I would have thought... No idea. No idea.
The 11s are rather exciting.
Well, from a Vampire to Hastings, my major leap from one engine to four... No idea. I presume at the time... I don't know. I really don't know the politics behind that. There was three of us went on from Cranwell to multi-engine... No, three on to Hastings and one or two to Beverley's. The rest out of the 28 must have gone on to the fighter world, I guess.
Anyhow, you went out to Changi on Hastings?
Yep. Marvellous. Never been there before. Well, I had just vaguely touched it on the Hastings but a little earlier on one trip. But that was for it was due to be 2.5 years until the calamitous elevator failure in the UK. And so we only did about just under 2 years as captain there. But
what was the elevator failure?
The hinges failed at Abingdon, and the aircraft crashed, and we were all grounded for a while. Came back flying for a while, and then the whole fleet was grounded forever.
Was that near the end of the life of the Hastings anyway?
I think not. I think it would have carried on a little bit till the. Later, with the introduction of the Hercules, but I think it would have carried on for another year or two, at least. But it certainly speeded up the decision to ground them forever.
What sort of flying did you do out of Changi?
Oh, magnificent. Supporting the Borneo operations, dropping into the forces out on the strips. Up in Malaya, police field forces drops up there. Sometimes a little over the board at what they were doing, I don't know. Excellent flying in the valleys, and we were just taken over, in fact, from the Valletta up in Malaya, and a bit bigger aircraft. A bit safer, though, in fact, just a little bit safer than the Valletta, because if they had engine failures, they couldn't make it back over the hills. We, with a bit of luck, could.
And were they easy aircraft to fly?
The Hastings?
Yeah. Or a bit of a handful?
The biggest handful I've ever heard of. I don't know if anybody's got a worse aircraft with a tailwheel. magnificent swing on takeoff unless you were careful. Normally, the landing was a tail-down wheeler, like the Dakota. But if you made a mess of it, you had a big problem. I would think far more difficult than anything else I've flown, but a bit more satisfying as a result.
Because I spoke to someone who'd flown the civilian version, the Hermes.
Oh, yeah.
And I gather the pressure on the rudder pedals was something horrendous. Oh, you're one circuit and that, and you're exhausted.
What a windy day like today. Yeah, at least you needed two legs to direct it where you wanted to. But there was two versions of the Hermes, and there was the tail wheel and there was a nose wheel. I presume the nose wheel would have been quite a lot better than the tail wheel one.
I think this guy is referring to the nose wheel.
Was he?
Well, he was the ARB pilot. Had to pass it in for service with VOA's Ah,
I just read an article about that. Huh?
Yeah.
Didn't know he was doing the nose wheel. Mm. That should have proved a lot easier than the tail wheel one, certainly on the groundwork.
Yes. Anyhow, I mean, she was quite a handful to fly, and yet you had to fly it into very confined surroundings sometimes, into valleys and so on, for drops, did you?
Well, we did. Looking back, I have a feeling that with the winds as they were, which were fairly light and variable in the valleys, we always try to drop at the correct height. Now, I feel if we'd have dropped a little higher, it would have been a lot easier and safer, and probably with as good a result. I mean, if people are hungry, they're going to look for these goods you're going to drop anyway. But we used to go and try and drop them at the right height, whatever, it's 250 feet or 400 feet, and making life a lot more difficult than necessary, I feel. But it was truly fun.
Can you remember any particular sorties?
Oh, God, there were so many of them. We did up in Borneo in particular, and vast numbers in the DZs, which in fact are labelled, but I haven't got a map with them on, because they were all secret at the time, I guess. Up in Malaya, there was a number of fortresses we dropped to. Again, I look at my logbook, I could tell you, if you were really interested on the places. I can't recall any at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any sort of longish haul flights as well, up to Hong Kong, places like that?
Yes, and the best trip of all was the Pacific Trainer. That was 28 days round. Oh, where do we go? Guadalcanal. Well, I started off at Guadalcanal, Port Moresby, Guadalcanal, Tonga, Rarotonga, Tahiti, and then we, I think we went back through, we certainly touched Australia a few times on the way back. One most magnificent trip I've ever seen.
Sounds like a jolly, doesn't it?
Well, as I was, when I was absolutely brand new there, and so we went. The boss was the number one captain. Number two boss was either captain or navigator. Can't remember which. Wing Command Rops was obviously there for the jolly, and I crept along as a bit of luck. A marvellous trip. Never seen anything like that. It was the days when some of the islands hadn't got proper runways. They were grass strips, and we'd park on a golf course or whatever.
And how did you navigate? Was it all Astra?
Well, most of the legs weren't very long, so I guess it might have been a little bit of Astra, but to be honest, I haven't a clue. They weren't very long legs, to be honest. I mean, they're 3 or 4 hours at the most, I suspect. Which made it to 28 days, because I should think you could have done the lot in about half that time if it had been required.
Of course, GAN was in existence in those days, wasn't it?
Oh, there's lots of trips to GAN, yes. Yeah.
Tell me about the place, because it's all long gone now, isn't it?
Oh, Willingilly and all the islands there. Well, I was the major stopover in the days of, 1960s, for the Britannias, Comets and Hastings, going east. Not many females. I think there was a sapper sister at one time. None others, apart from the local ladies who lived on one of the other islands. As did all the local little people. Quite a long haul, both from Bahrain or Aden to Gan. You know, in the Hastings, it was 7 or 8, 10 hours, something like that. Little island, big beacon on it, luckily.
You had autopilot, presumably.
Yeah, well, that's coming on to that. We didn't have that on the Hercules when we came. We did on the. It wasn't a very good autopilot, but it did allow you to do other things and fly it. Yeah, what wonderful place for a holiday island, I thought.
Yeah.
I think certainly the northern islands are used as holiday resorts now. Well, I think Gan is about derelict. I'm not sure to this at the moment.
And it was purely a transit station.
Exactly.
Any home base squadrons or anything.
Oh, they used to have a Shackleton detachment for air sea rescue. Mm-hmm. In fact, they lost the Shackleton at sometime during the 65, I believe, somewhere around there. But no, not really anything else permanently there, apart from air traffic and the feeding arrangements and accommodation. But Magic Island's a visit. Not for the years unattached, I don't think. In fact, one of our Secretaries of State for Defence went there and asked where the married quarters were. He escaped with his life. They were not amused.
Anyhow, presumably Changi was a better posting than Gan anyway.
Well, a lot of people went to Gan just as a detachment from various places, but Singapore was absolutely delightful. Never seen anything like it. It doesn't have the same effect on you, I don't think, no. 8-lane highways and things, where it used to be an old rickety road. Wonderful place. Kampongs and then the kids there. And marvellous station.
Were you married at that time?
In fact, we got two kids by then. And they came out separately from me for various... I have no idea why. Yeah. Ministry or somebody... Ministry of Defence decided that they couldn't travel on the same aircraft as me. But I wasn't sure why. Anyway, a wonderful place for kids.
Because a lot of the trooping flights were charters anyway, weren't
they? Britannia did a lot. Mm. But the other ones, as far as I remember, was the Comet did a fair few. I remember Britannia did, but I don't know about anybody else.
Otherwise, where else? I suppose you actually went over to, on the board, during the Borneo War, you used to do drops for troop support on the ground, did you?
That was main business, really. Our side of the border... As far as I know, we didn't creep across the border unless by mistake we did. It was regular places we visited. Apart from Labuan, there was a... can't remember the names of the places. Could look them up for you if you like, but they were sort of long Jawi and places which I suppose we could still find them on a map, I'm not sure. That's just a long time ago, looking back now, at these things.
Yeah. Well, it was the old days of Easter Seres, wasn't it?
Right.
And you used to go out through Bahrain. You'd stage through Bahrain, presumably, on your way out, would you? Or?
On the Hastings, we had to go the top way round, Van Tatvan, and then down through to Bahrain, yeah. Because we couldn't, obviously, in those days, we couldn't go use the Egyptian route. Something there.
What about Cyprus? Was Akrotiri a base in those days?
Well, as far as I can remember, we used to use Nicosia, and the RAF had a base there. I believe Akrotiri existed then, but I never went there, not for years. So we used to go into Nicosia, and then on the odd occasion, I only did it about once or twice, up round the north, Turkey, and Mount Ararat, and down the Gulf to Bahrain.
And you'd fly the airline routes, presumably, would you, in those days?
No, because we were well below those heights. We had to wait for a nice day, because we couldn't get up that high. We were only flying at 9,000-10,000 feet. And
what do you mean by a nice day? I mean, wouldn't you all weathers?
Well, no, because you were below safety height there. Well, you could fly. And if the clouds were around.
Mount Ararat and so on was above your
yeah. A lot of the hills were, yeah. Mountains, rather, yeah.
So you just steered around them, did you, or what?
On a good day, yeah.
So, I mean, did you follow, you navigated off the ground on did you almost follow railway lines and things like that? Or?
Could have done. Well, I don't think there are any railway lines there. We could certainly map read most of the way, yeah. I think that we did follow the general airline airways, but it was a bit lower than most other people would have done out of preference. Cause, I remember doing that about once, because otherwise I went out there by Comet and then did the flying out there and came back by Britannia, I think it was. So the actual bit in between by Hastings, I think I only did once or twice, a couple of times down to Aden. Or maybe a few more times down to Aden. Bahrain once, I believe. So, a bit dim and distant.
So, if you, say, were on a full load on a dropping sortie, in that climate, what was your rate of climb?
Dear Lord.
1,000 feet a minute, or?
Oh, less than that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. On a hot day with a full load, I don't remember ever taking off with a full load, for dropping, but if what we normally did was plan an escape route. Somebody would go in there and have a look, see, and so you could drop down the valley. So if you had an engine failure, you'd continue down the valley, and hopefully there'd be an escape route. Wasn't always so though. Some of the places you couldn't. There was the odd hang up. Which caused, yeah, you've got very little chance then of escaping. Luckily, we didn't have any crashes out there at the Hastings. A few went through the trees, picked up a few bits. I think the Valettas had a lot more problems, though.
Well, as you were saying, because they only had two engines.
Yeah, they had a lot of fatalities, I believe, out there. Because we in fact, took over the Valetta detachment, getting to changing subject, up in Malaya. We took over from 52 Squadron and did the drops there over the hills, and we were a little better off, I think. Although, on three engines and a hot climate, the Hercules, Hastings rather, it doesn't perform too well. In fact, going out of Khartoum one day, we were doing an experiment with new gas masks for carrying noxious cargo, and I was second pilot then, I think. And we had an engine failure on takeoff. Well, we went for miles and miles and miles and miles just to creep up enough to do a circuit and land. I don't know what rate of climb was. Maybe 100 foot a minute, I don't know. And on finals at Khartoum, if you've ever been there, there's the last Hastings, rather, that crashed on finals on three engines in the dust on the left of the runway. Now, the performance on three was... Well, you had to land as soon as possible. There was no messing about with it.
Because what were the Americans using at that time? They had C-54s, didn't they? The Skymasters, or was that later than that?
Must be about the same time, but they were out in our part of the world. The only ones I remember was the Commando in the Congo.
Yeah.
The number of that I can't remember. And the Dakota, that's the only ones I remember. The Skymaster must have been around about that time, though. But I didn't see one out in Singapore. Constellations they had out there, kicking around, civilian ones.
You flew into Africa quite a bit, did you? You mentioned the Congo.
Oh, in 1960, we did a lot of work down in from Ghana into the Luleburg, Leopoldville, carrying United Nations forces and kit. And then we moved on to Nigeria and continued the same thing, helping out. Very exciting. In fact, one day down there, we just got airborne. I think it was the wing commander. Might not have been. No, it wasn't the wing commander. It was Jim Betteridge. And just after we got airborne, got up, air traffic message, return immediately, order the Congolese government. So luckily we had a radio failure and disappeared. And subsequently we found out that that day, that very time that we took off, Lumumba had escaped. And they thought we might have him on board. So on the way back, instead of going to Leopold, we went to Brazzaville. And back to, whether it's Ghana or Accra or Lagos, I'm not sure. And the boss got put in jail, I think, on the next trip going through. Because they were not very, very impressed with our non-regulation of obedience.
You're
within
that.
Well, I mean, wicked people down there. And one of the doctors we picked up, he reckoned there was more human flesh-eating down there than anything else. Frightening.
What are your memories of... I mean, you obviously lived on the ground in those days, so you overnighted in local hotels in the middle of the trouble?
Well, in the Congo.
In the Congo.
Horrendous places. Yes,
how...
Well, you wouldn't keep animals in some of the places we stopped at. I mean, absolutely revolting. I mean, if there was a mattress that had been used by Lord knows what in the past 10 years, and the loos were absolutely out of this world. Not a nice place for a night stop. And the spiders were voracious, and mosquitoes. Yeah. No, not a good night stop. Apart from Leopoldville, you were just back in the middle of a European town. You would go to, we went out with the mayor, or whatever he was called in Belgium. About a 5-course dinner, all the wines. And you went outside and the kids were starving. And they just pinched your water out of the jeep because they hadn't got any water either. The contrast of life was quite amazing. In fact, it sort of brings you on to Ethiopia, where the same sort of thing happened, in the contrast between the way we lived and the kids.
You were on a relief flight there with Hercules, weren't you?
That's right, yeah.
I'd like to come on to that later.
Yes, sure.
No, I mean, from what one read about the civil war at that time and still going on now in Angola,
yep.
They're pretty savage affairs, aren't they?
Well, I've not sort of been involved with tribal warfare, but they don't mess around. Mm. And they're those fearsome people. The Baloo was that, I mean, the idea was to make death as uncomfortable as possible, and lingering as possible, I think. I mean, he talked the old doc out there, and... Well, he wouldn't talk about a lot of the stuff, because it was so horrific. The only thing that I can go by is the tales I've told of things found in fridges.
When you were on those sorties, I mean, did you actually fly the Hastings out from the UK? On these...
From the ones in...
in the Congo.
Yes, yeah. We used to have a detachment at Accra, first time, for, I think that was about a year. And we only did sort of a month at the time. And then we moved to Lagos. I don't know the particular reason for that. Again, we flew out via... There must have been something like Luca in Malta, Al Adam, Carno, I think, straight then. Mm-hmm. As far as I remember.
And was this before your Far Eastern time? Or
yes, that was before, yeah.
Before, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So we got a bit out of order here, yes.
Yeah.
That was about 1960-62 time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The time out in Singapore was 1965 for a couple of years.
So you were saying that after the crash at Abingdon, the Hastings fleet was grounded, and you came home as a consequence and left the planes out there, did you?
No, well, it wasn't. They weren't grounded immediately. They were immediately, and then they were rectified. Meanwhile, we went to all kinds of jobs around FIAF. They found us various jobs. And
Far East Air Forces.
That's right, yeah. And then we went back flying again for a little while.
On the Hastings?
Yeah. I can't remember how long. And then it was all finished. And I stayed out there because I found a little job for a year, 6 months a year, with the Far East Air Force, admin side, because I didn't want to come home.
Cushy number, was it?
It's such a lovely place. No, I didn't like the job one little bit. Well, I was a group captain's gopher, and it was quite interesting. But I saved coming home, and in fact, there was a nice little job. I had a sojourn on HMS Ark Royal for a couple of weeks, and it was a different wonderful. I didn't actually fly off it, only in a helicopter.
You went to see it?
Yeah, we had 2 weeks. Marvellous. Most interesting. And then they raised the undercarriage and all the Hastings. Good morale booster. Left them down the side of the down the side of the runway. And firemen weren't allowed to go on because of the luminous dials on the cockpit. And that was that dangerous.
Radioactivity or
well, that's what they reckon.
When you say pull the undercarriage, do they literally do that? Yeah. Not being moved.
Yeah. I don't know why. And terrible for people coming in on an aircraft to see this line of derelict aircraft on the side of the runway. At least I thought it was.
And they were all scrapped out there, I suppose, weren't they?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That is sad.
The Hastings at that time in the UK were based at Colon, were they? They weren't here at Lynham.
Yeah. Lynham, Cullen, Dishforth, which then moved to Thorney Island. Lindholm, I think Lindholm's then. And there was the 202 Squadron sometime around that date, and which was in Ireland, the Met flight. I don't know when they actually finished. I haven't a clue offhand. It's not running out now. We haven't got anywhere yet.
Anyway,
We haven't got anywhere yet.
Well, there's time and plenty of tape. Now,
is this running on at the moment?
Yes, running.
Oh, sorry,
on, yeah.
Big problem.
No, yeah. Don't worry. The end of your Hastings flying, therefore, you came home.
Yep.
And what was your next assignment?
Oh, back on the Hastings.
Still on the Hastings.
Must have been me, because I came to...
Have they all been scrapped then?
Well, they were out there, but the ones at Cullen went on for a little bit longer, because I went back to flying for them for only the odd month or two at Cullen, or Cullen, as the note was going up. So it must have gone on for another year after FIAF finished their flying. And then started at Fairford on the Hercules.
At Fairford?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With, 30 and 47 Squadron. I was on 30 at the time. That was a little brief interlude at Bryce Norton, but and OCU, but that was the main gist of it, that went to Fairford and flew there for a tour. Which was, the beginning of the Hercules, it was 68, we bought them in 66, didn't we? And I was at the beginning of that, the Hercules introduction.